The following audio content is from a class taught by Tim Smith in the Water From Rock weekly classes. For more information, see our website, waterfromrock.org. Welcome to Water From Rock. I am Tim Smith, and we are continuing our series on life wisdom from Proverbs. And today we're looking at getting wisdom. We have a woman who serves on our board of ministry who, after a career in the corporate world, she went to Fuller Seminary and got her degree there and is doing ministry here in the local community and even around the world. And she grew up in the little town of Princeton, New Jersey, just down the street from Albert Einstein. And she tells how Einstein, how he was legendary in the neighborhood for oftentimes going to the wrong house. And people would have to redirect him. No, Dr. Einstein, this isn't your house. That's your house down there. And just a reminder that incredibly high IQ doesn't always mean we're able to find our way around the world. And as well, Einstein was not always wise in his dealing with family members and other people. And I have to say that more than any time in my life, I am wanting wisdom. I'm wanting that skill of living life. I'm needing wisdom. I remember my father in later years of his life, a man who oftentimes taught through Proverbs. My father would oftentimes say, "There's no fool like an old fool." And I think about that as I get older. I'm feeling more in the need of wisdom. Wisdom for myself, for my children, my grandchildren, for the world in which I live, because we are living in a topsy-turvy world where we find good is called evil and evil is called good. And I sense that our country is going down a road that we've never been down before. And I want wisdom. Solomon says in the book of Proverbs, he says, get wisdom more than you would go after anything in life to get wisdom. Now, as we begin our study again today on wisdom from the book of Proverbs, I would first like to consider for just a couple moments wisdom according to the little New Testament book of James. And as I talk about the book of James, I always like to remember that James was the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. They shared the same mother. And so I have to imagine that James and our Lord Jesus Christ, as they grew up together, that there must have been many dinner table conversations about wisdom, what wisdom is and how we get it. And last week we saw in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus, as a boy, as a young man, he increased in wisdom. So I'm really interested in what the book of James has to say about wisdom, as there it opens up in James chapter 1, verse 5, where he says, "If any of you is lacking wisdom," passage of scripture to which I've oftentimes turned. He says, "If any of you is lacking wisdom, ask God." That's prayer. "If any of you is lacking wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given you." So we're facing life, we're facing situations in which we know we need wisdom, and so we ask God for wisdom. What does that wisdom look like that God gives to us? Well, I turn over a couple of chapters in the book of James. And in James chapter 3, we see that the wisdom that God gives to us, it is a quality of life. It's not that God downloads information into our minds, but rather wisdom is a quality of life. I see that in James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, where it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom." Notice that. Gentleness, born of wisdom. So when I ask God for wisdom, it's going to birth gentleness, all right? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom, but if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above, all right? We're asking God for wisdom. He says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. That's the wisdom that comes from above. That's the quality of life that we're seeking when we go after wisdom. I think here of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 10, where he tells his disciples, he says, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. It's not going to be easy, but he says, be as wise as serpents and as gentle and innocent as doves. That's the kind of wisdom we're looking for. Wisdom as a quality of life, wisdom as a mindset, an attitude. Now, as we're spending time in the book of Proverbs, I just want to make a couple of suggestions for you as you would seek to engage Proverbs, as you would seek to get into the book. Let me make a couple of suggestions that have been helpful for me and other people about getting into Proverbs. And first of all is just get a notebook, just a simple notebook in which you record observations as you're reading through Proverbs. And I found it helpful, and many people have found it helpful, to divide that notebook up according to different subjects that we encounter in the book of Proverbs. You might even want to use tabs as you do this. And so some of the many subjects that come up in the book of Proverbs would be friendship, listening, anger, money, work, marriage, parenting, pride and humility, wise counsel, sexual morality, the use of the tongue. You're going to see these different categories come up as you work your way through the book of Proverbs, and you're going to find others as well. But it's been helpful for me to begin with those different subjects, those different categories, and then put verses into those different categories. And then you might want to share with family members or friends some of the insights that you are gaining from your time in the book of Proverbs. And one final suggestion for getting into Proverbs. Why don't you try memorizing a proverb a week, okay? And then reviewing those proverbs as you memorize them. And how long do we study the book of Proverbs? How long do we seek after wisdom? Well, for the rest of our lives. Because the promise of the book of Proverbs, as we saw in its opening, that it will give insight to the simple and it will make the wise wiser. And so we're looking at getting wisdom, and we're looking at a heart for wisdom. And up to this point in our study, we've looked at the big picture as Proverbs offers us two ways of life. It boils down to being very simple. There is the path of wisdom that leads to life. There is the path of foolishness that leads to destruction, to Sheol. So the two ways. And we find this teaching of wisdom's two ways. We find it throughout Scripture. For instance, our Lord Jesus Christ picks us up as he talks about there is a way that leads to life. There is a way that leads to destruction. These two ways of life, he summarizes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, that he says, if you hear my words and do my words, then you're like the wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rains come down and the floods come up. And because he's built his house, because he has built his life upon the rock, then his house stands. There is the foolish man who hears the word, but he does not do the word, and he builds his life upon sand. And the rains and the storms of life come, and his life then collapses. So let's look now more into the way of wisdom that leads to life. And that takes us to Proverbs chapter 3, and I want to look at this passage, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, words that have been very dear to the people of God. In Proverbs chapter 3, in the first four verses, Solomon is saying to his son, he says, do not forget, let your heart keep these words. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, hold on to these words of wisdom. Then that takes us to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, that as we have the Proverbs in our mind and in our heart, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. Let's look first of all at verse 5, where he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. We see here and throughout the book of Proverbs that where the wise are characterized as living by faith. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. The Hebrew word translated as trust is the Hebrew word batak, which originally had the idea of lying helpless, face down. Batak, it carries the force of relying on someone for security. It is confidence that is to be put into the Lord and not our own human understanding. So this is to be a complete trust with all of our hearts. And I like what Paul Larson says in his commentary on the book of Proverbs entitled Wise Up and Live, where he says, There are two sides to the matter of trust. There is the decision of trust and the habit of trust. The first is called commitment. The second is called trust. Trust follows commitment, not always right away, but it begins there. In the middle of our fears, we make a decision to trust. This does not immediately bring the habit of trust, but if we will muster the courage to commit our way to God, we shall soon learn to trust. That's the end of Paul Larson's quote. This week, our 8-year-old granddaughter is away at a church camp, and my wife, Rita, and I, we each sent her cards through the mail, and in one of the cards I sent to her, besides telling her that I love her and that I'm proud of her and whatever, I put this Proverbs 3:5 passage, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Make that decision to trust in the Lord. That was a decision that I first made when I was 7 years of age, a commitment, a decision to trust in the Lord. And it's a decision that I keep on making throughout life. And hopefully it's becoming a habit where I trust in the Lord with all my heart. In the margin of my Bible, I've got a little proverb right here in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, where it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." That's the God in whom we put our trust. He is a strong tower. We run to him and we are safe. So here we see that instead of relying on our own insight, we put our trust in the Lord. Relying on our own insight, it's a lot more than just failing to pray about something. Relying on our own insight is being wise in our own eyes. Thinking that we know the right way to God, we know the right way to go without God and without his wisdom. And Michael Fox, in his commentary in the book of Proverbs, he says that the usual assumptions of the book of Proverbs is that a mental faculty employed without trust in God cannot be called insight. Solomon says, we put our trust in the Lord, not in ourselves, not in our feelings. That's wisdom. That's living life with skill, to put our trust in the Lord. And I think there was a warning here implicit that we don't, in not trusting in our own selves, we don't do what I hear many people in today's culture say. Well, they say you have to trust your heart. I even hear that in some Christian circles. You got to trust your heart. That's common advice today. But when people tell me, you know, I just need to trust your heart, I think of what the prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, where he says, "The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can know it?" Okay? Who can fathom the foolishness that is in the human heart? The heart is devious above all else, Jeremiah says. And if you've done any counseling, you know that is true. I remember when I was in school in Dallas, I remember an elder of a church who showed up at an elder's meeting with his Greek New Testament to defend his adulterous relationship. The heart is devious above all else. And if you're honest with yourself, if I'm honest with myself, I know that is true. And so I don't want to trust my own heart. I want to trust God, his wisdom, and the way that God tells me to go in life. Now, a few verses earlier in Jeremiah chapter 17, he says in Jeremiah 17, verse 7, he says, "Blessed are those who trust," the Hebrew word batak again. Blessed are those who trust, who put the total weight of their lives in the Lord. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is in him. Then in verse 6 of Proverbs 3, Solomon continues. He says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." Now, I was raised on the good King James Bible that has a little bit different ending to this verse. It says, "In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Now, the Hebrew words here, as our modern translations bring out, the Hebrew words really has the idea, rather than "he shall direct thy paths," it has the idea that he will make straight your paths. And the Hebrew has the idea of making a road safe for travel by clearing it and leveling the road. This verse does not really have the idea of an individual will of God, say pertaining to our career or to a marriage partner, but really it's describing the general course of one's life. When the words "make straight," he will make straight your paths, when "make straight" and "paths" are put together, it means that the Lord will make the course of your life successful. Not necessarily successful according to the world's standards, but according to God's eternal standard. He will make straight your paths. He will make your life truly successful. And so this refers to the totality of one's life, and it doesn't guarantee that we will not make mistakes. But from the bird's eye view, and not the worm's eye view, but from the bird's eye view, when we acknowledge God in all of our ways, he will make straight our paths. Now, I notice there that he says, "In all your ways, acknowledge him." God isn't going to bargain with us where we can acknowledge a couple of ways, a couple of parts of our lives, a couple of facets of our lives. God can have this part and he can have that part and I'll have this part. He says, "In all your ways, acknowledge him." I like to oftentimes think of my life as like a pie, and it's divided up into different pieces. There are different facets of my life. There are different parts of my life. God says that I need to, in all my ways, acknowledge him. I have to take God into account in all of my ways, and then he makes straight my path. Now, again, in the margin of my Bible, I've got some other verses, other proverbs that encourage me to acknowledge God in all parts of my life. In Proverbs chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, it says, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what they stumble over." Proverbs 11:5 says, "The righteousness of the blameless keeps their ways straight, but the wicked fall by their own wickedness." And then Proverbs 15:19, it says, "The way of the lazy is overgrown with thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway." When we acknowledge God in all parts of our life, he makes straight our pathway leading to life. I think here of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." God makes straight the pathway. He doesn't say that it will be easy, but he makes straight the pathway. And then in verse 7, Proverbs says, do not be wise in your own eyes. That's hubris. That's pride. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I think here are three commands. If we would obey, they would make for a wise and blessed life. Don't think you're wise. Live in awe of the Lord and refuse to do wrong. Most of the time, I think our God is too small and our heads are too big. So do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And then in verse 8, he says that as we acknowledge God in all of our ways, as we put our trust in him, he says in verse 8, it will be a healing for your flesh and a refreshment for your body. And here we see what we see time and again throughout Scripture, is that Scripture often uses the physical body to describe inner spiritual psychical feelings. That it's a healing for our flesh, for our total self. It is a refreshment for us. And that is why many hospitals have a chaplain, because they know that so many times there's more involved here than just physical processes. There are spiritual processes as well. That as a result of sin, humankind is on the road to death and needs healing. But as we put our trust in the Lord, we find healing in our total lives. James 1 says, if any of you is lacking wisdom, ask God. That's prayer. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God. I'm very grateful to a Hebrew professor that I had in school, Bruce Waalke, who went on to write what many regard as the finest contemporary commentary on the book of Proverbs. And I remember Dr. Waalke talking about back in 1976 as he was on a team of translators who were translating the New International Version of the Bible. And he said that he was doing his work 5 days a week, 12 hours a day. And he'd spend the first part of the day individually translating, and then later in the day, they'd come together as a committee to produce what we know as the New International Version. So he was working 5 days a week, 12 hours a day, translating Scripture. And I was struck by Dr. Waalke saying that at the end of that long process of translating Scripture, that he found himself spiritually worse off. Why would that be? 5 days a week, 12 hours a day, translating Scripture. He said it's because he was so busy that he didn't pray. And that really speaks to me that as we seek to get wisdom, that it is more, far more than just taking information, good information, into our minds. But as James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So with David of old, I pray, search us, O God, and know our hearts. Test us and know our thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. I'm a fellow traveler, Tim Smith. Thank you for listening.